Morning, everybody. I hope everybody's doing well. I know we're in slightly trying circumstances right now, so I know we're all certainly keeping that in our prayers at the moment. So I don't know if any of you saw this during the last week. I'm going to speak to you about the reading from Exodus, by the way. I don't know if any of you saw this. I just happened to come across it during the week. It was the meeting of the Security Council of the United Nations. It was when they had their vote whether they're going to censure Mr. Putin and his government about the situation in the Ukraine. And the thing that was very striking, I didn't see all of it, but what I saw was a good part of what I saw was the Ukrainian ambassador speaking to Mr. Putin's ambassador. And what was so striking about it is usually you hear all this kind of fancy, complicated, kind of direct but indirect sort of diplomatic language when diplomats are talking. And what was so striking about this guy talking to Mr. Putin's ambassador, Ukrainian ambassador, speaking to him, is that he abandoned his diplomatic language, and he spoke to him very directly. It wasn't particularly friendly. It was extremely direct. And if you saw this little clip, I encourage you to see this. What he said to him is, or at least part of what he said to him is, in a sense, he said, I see you as a person right now. We're not talking diplomat to diplomat. I'm speaking to you as a human being. And this was very harsh. What he said to him is, your children are ashamed of you. And how are you going to explain to your children what you were doing? And then maybe you saw this part. It was quite striking. He says, and now we're going to stop for 30 seconds and pray. All of us in the Security Council, we're going to stop for 30 seconds and pray. He says, if you don't pray, you can meditate. I guess he was talking to the communist government in China or something. He says, if you don't, we're going to meditate. And this is what I'd like us to pray about. I want us to pray for the souls of those who have died and are about to die. And Mr. Ambassador, I'd like you to pray for the salvation of your own soul during this time. A very uncomfortable moment, a really uncomfortable moment when all this diplomatic language, I mean, I felt uncomfortable just looking at it. The reason I think of this is that the word, so this was kind of a I see you and kind of a person-to-person thing. The reason I think of this is that in the Greek of the New Testament, we're talking about Old Testament today as well, but it kind of pervades it, the Bible. In the Greek of the New Testament, the word for person is the word face. And I was fortunate to do a baptism yesterday. First time I've done it a long time. Man, that was great to be there with real, physical human beings. And it reminded me of when you have a little baby, a little child, and this child was not too happy with me yesterday, so she wasn't doing this, but you have a baby and you're looking at their face, they will imitate your facial expression. If you notice that, next time you have a baby, just look at that. You'll make a face, they'll make a face, you kind of imitate each other. And it's really how we become human beings is, unless a kid doesn't have sight. And then there's other ways that certainly that it can happen with voice, which is very important. But thinking about this in particular, it's how we become human beings is by being face to face, being face to face with each other. It's what creates us as persons is being in a relationship with each other, which is why it's so distressing for people to be solitary when it's not what they want. What was that famous movie with Tom Hanks in it where he's on a desert island and he's got Wilson the volleyball, and what
Castaway.
Castaway, thank you. And what does he put on it on the volleyball? Puts a face, right? And that's no accident, because we not only want, we desperately need the company of other people. We need their face or their voice in order to be fully human. So the contrast in today's Old Testament reading, and of course, we're reading these things out of context, you wouldn't see it necessarily. The contrast is this: just before today's Old Testament reading, in the when Moses up on Mount Sinai for the second time, just before this, he's been up for the first time, and he comes down, and the people of Israel have gotten a little impatient, as they often do, and have decided to make them for themselves a golden calf to worship. And so what I often forget when I read this is they're not making the idol of a pagan god. This is their picture of the God of Israel. They want something that they can see, that they can handle, that they can control, that they can manage, but that is inanimate. This is their picture of God himself, something inanimate and controllable. And the contrast with this is Moses coming down from Mount Sinai, in this case, for the second time. The contrast with the inanimate face of this idol is the animated face of Moses, whose light shines with the light of God, whom he has just seen, as fully capable as a human being is of seeing him. So the contrast is this inanimate face and Moses' animated face, full of the presence of God. And we see this in all kinds of ways throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. The contrast is the inanimate face of the idol and eventually the place for God in the tabernacle, which is a space for an uncontrollable person. And of course, we see this in today's gospel reading and the epistle reading as well, that in fact, in the gospel reading, well, both of them, we see the fact that God's face, his uncontrollable person face, we'll call it that, reveals itself in the face of Jesus. That we can see the human face of God. We see the human face of God, so to speak, the uncontrollable human face. So what we can say about God from what the scriptures is telling us is God is a person. In fact, he's the personist, to make up a word, he's the personist person that there is. And he is the source of all personhood. Just think about what that means, for example. Think of the difference between a person and an object. God is the source of all personhood, everything that it means to be a person in its fullest sense. When I was thinking about this, I was thinking that Mr. Putin's ambassador, as well as the Ukrainian ambassador, would know this fully well. The Ukrainian ambassador seemed to be speaking directly, you don't know, but he seemed to be speaking directly out of an experience of prayer. He seemed that kind of directness and truth that only the presence of God is really able to develop in us. But both of them would know this. Maybe the most important icon in the Eastern Church, that's a holy picture, holy image in the Eastern Church, whether Ukrainian or Russian or Bulgarian or Greek, is the picture of what's called Christ the World Ruler. Actually, you can't see it because the lamp is shining really brightly on it right now. Christ the World Ruler. And it's a picture of the Lord. He's got the scriptures in his hand, which is closed in this particular version. But it's the expression on his face that is really the point of it, and is really significant. On the one hand, he's looking directly at us, but on the one hand, he's looking inward at his own Godhead. And at the same time, he's looking outward, and he's looking directly at us. So we have this experience of, in a sense, Jesus out of his Godhead speaking directly to us. We could say person to person. And the wonderful thing about these icons is they kind of capture that aspect of God. And in a way, if we look at them, kind of remind us of our own personhood and of God's personhood in a way. So during the season of Lent, which we're about to enter into, Jesus tells us to fast, pray, and to give alms. The fasting and praying are so that we can recover our personhood, the book of Genesis calls God the God who sees, so that we can take space to be seen by God and to see God person to person directly. I see you, he says. It says in the scriptures, the Lord said to me, to my heart, seek my face. And then it says, your face, O Lord, do I seek. So this is what we do during Lent. We seek God's face, person to person. And then almsgiving, if our personhood is renewed in God, then we're going to look at other people and we're going to see them as persons, aren't we? Not as objects, not as things to be dealt with, but as unique individual persons. And so our giving to the poor becomes an obvious, direct result of seeing God's face and him seeing us. So let's consider this during Lent. Let's place ourselves before God, be seen by him and see him. And then as a result of that, see others with clarity. Amen.